We're in our final section as we've been looking at 10 descriptions of false prophets that the Apostle Peter draws out in 2 Peter chapter 2. And I want to just look now at some application for pastor elders as we think about this. As a parent, I can hardly think of anything that elicits more emotion than a sexual predator. The thought of a molester enticing and deceiving my children for their own sexual pleasure makes me feel emotions that I never knew I had. Everything inside me wants to protect my children. And if I knew they were in danger of being molested, I would do everything in my power to protect them from predators. That's the feeling you get as you study 2 Peter chapter 2. I remember watching the news a number of years ago. They did a study on a particular pedophile who teamed up with his wife and went to different parks and recorded unsuspecting children with video cameras. And I'll spare you the detail, but I remember watching that, and it's hard to even describe the emotions I felt as I was watching this, hearing about their diabolical and sick methods of exploiting the weak. And I think of this passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, and I just encourage you elders to think of Peter, to think of our Lord Jesus. And it's as though they're saying with all this emotion, imagining all these little lambs, saying, I want to protect these little lambs from the wolves. That emotion should pervade the pastor elder. That should be on our minds. It should be that serious to us. We want to protect the flock from false teaching. Acts 20:29, we looked at this, but I want to read it again. Paul says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Now, there is one main point to that passage in Acts chapter 20, and it's this. Elders, guard the flock because false teachers are coming. That is the point, and that's what we need to remember. The whole history of the church can be explained with that very passage. And then the wolves came. The arch enemies of the church are false teaching and false teachers. And Acts 20 is the key passage. Elders are to protect the flock. And this protecting is the negative aspect of eldership and proper shepherding. The New Testament teaches that one of the major aspects of the elder's work is the protecting, the guarding, the watching ministry. Guard the flock, Paul says, and we must be on guard. The under-shepherds of the local church have this responsibility of protecting the flock. Part of the overseeing duties, part of the managing duties of the under-shepherd is to protect the flock. This is a qualification for a shepherd leader. Titus 1:9. People forget this, but this is such a critical qualification. It says, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. This is a qualification for an elder. And I'm amazed. It amazes me as I hear of Christian leaders on the news or Larry King Live, or they're asked about hell or they're asked about homosexuality, and they skirt the issue and say, well, I don't really see that as my job. Well, then you're disqualified. This is a qualification to be an elder. And I'm frankly amazed and appalled at how many pastors today deliberately shirk this duty. Phil Johnson has said, it's not for me to criticize what other people are teaching. I just want to always be positive, they'll say. And we'll let truth and error sort themselves out. Right? You've heard this? But if you try to do that, you're not fulfilling the responsibility Paul positively assigns to every faithful minister. If you're to be faithful, you are to know these things. You are to give instruction and sound doctrine and rebuke those who contradict it. You're to do this. You're not to delegate this to someone else. If you're a pastor, elder, shepherd of people, if you have that office, this is your job. You're called to do this. And so as we think about Acts chapter 20, I just want to highlight a couple points. Paul says, be alert. Pay careful attention. Be on guard. Pay strict attention. The verb means a continuous action. Therefore, be alert. The opposite of this would be to be negligent, preoccupied with other things. Be alert, Paul says. I was at a conference a number of years ago, and I had the opportunity to see Bruce Ware. Bruce Ware, at that time, was the president of the Evangelical Theological Society. And I went up after the conference. The conference content had to do with the Trinity. And I was asking Bruce, who is very, very brilliant, knows a lot about theology, is very abreast on the theological debates and issues going on. And I said, you know, what are some of the biggest problems in the evangelical church today? What are some of the major doctrines? And he said to me something very interesting. He said, you know what? Just pick a doctrine. Pick any doctrine and it's under attack. He goes, 20, 30 years ago, there was only a few doctrines that were called into question. Now pick any doctrine. They're like little brush fires that are out on the horizon. That's what's happening today. We need to be alert. Second of all, don't be naive. We see this in verses 29 and 30 in Acts 20. Don't be naive. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come. Don't be naive. It could come from theological liberalism, the prosperity gospel, the Jesus isn't God of Jehovah's Witnesses, the good works religion, Mormonism, Roman Catholicism that distorts the gospel of justification by faith. Know these things. And lastly, admonish. Acts chapter 20, 27 and 31. You protect by admonishing. For 3 years, I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. The word means to instruct, admonish, warn, exhort. Don't stop doing this. And my last point of application, I think it's good to think about how to create an ethos of this in your assembly. So let me say it this way. What's true of the under-shepherds of the flock, what's true of you is also true of the shepherds of the home. So you can teach this to the husbands and fathers who are really shepherds of their own home. Parents, particularly fathers, have a responsibility to protect their family from wolves. And maybe, you know, you could say to these dads, maybe you're really good at protecting your family from burglars and you're packing heat and you know all about guns, but how well are you protecting your family from the other wolves that could come in and destroy your home? Sure, your home may be safe, but is it safe in other ways? Is there a safeguard around worship in the home? Is there a safeguard around the word? Is Christ elevated? Is he enjoyed? Is he prioritized? Do fathers say to their families, we're going to worship Jesus in this home. This is what we do as a family. That'll be a means of protecting the small church, so to speak, so that the small church, the big church, which is made up of small little churches, the family, can be protected as well. So hopefully these are a few practical things that we can apply as we seek to be good under-shepherds and protect the flock. Let's do it.